of the effigy of Saint Benedict represented on the medal. The honor of appearing on the same medal with the figure of the Holy Cross has been given to Saint Benedict with the intention of expressing the efficacy which this holy sign had when made by his venerable hand. Saint Gregory the Great, who has written the life of the holy patriarch, tells us how, by the sign of the cross, he overcame his temptations, and by the same sign broke the cup of poisoned drink which was offered to him, thus unmasking the wicked designs of those who had plotted to take away his life. When the evil spirit, in order to terrify his religious, made the monastery of Monte Cassino appear to be on fire, Saint Benedict immediately dispels the artifice by making over the fiery phantom this sign of our Redeemer's passion. When his religious are troubled interiorly with the suggestions of the tempter, the Holy Father bids them take the remedy, and it is to make on their breast the sign of the cross. In his rule he prescribes that the brother, who has been reading the solemn engagement of his profession at the foot of the altar, should immediately affix to it the sign of the cross as an irrevocable seal of the deed on which his vows are written. The disciples of Saint Benedict have had a like confidence in this sacred sign, and have worked innumerable miracles by it. Let it here suffice to mention Saint Maurus giving sight to a blind man, Saint Placid curing many who were sick, Saint Richmere liberating captives, Saint Wulfstan preserving a workman in the very act of falling from the top of the church tower, Saint Odilo drawing out from a man's eye a splinter of wood which had run through it, Saint Anselm of Canterbury driving away from an old man the horrid specters which were tormenting him in his dying moments, Saint Hugh of Cluny quelling a storm, Saint Gregory the Seventh arresting the conflagration of Rome. These, and a thousand other such miracles which are related in the Acts of the Saints of the Order of Saint Benedict, were all worked by the sign of the cross. The glory and efficacy of the august instrument of our salvation have been celebrated with enthusiasm by the children of the great patriarch. They loved to extol it, for their hearts were full of gratitude towards it, not to speak of the little office of the Holy Cross which Saint Olderic, Bishop of Augsburg, used to recite, and which was also in choir in the abbeys of Saint Gall, of Richenoux, of Bursfield. The blessed Rabanus Maurus and Saint Peter Damian consecrated their talent for poetry in singing the praises of the Holy Cross. Saint Anselm of Canterbury has written its praises in the form of the most exquisite prayers. Venerable Bede, Saint Odilo of Cluny, Rupert of Dutz, Ecbert of Schoenagen, and a long list of others of the order have left us sermons on the Holy Cross. Ignhard wrote a book in defense of the worship paid to it against the iconoclasts, and Peter the Venerable defended it in a set treatise, the use of the sign of the cross, which had been attacked by the Petrobusians. A great number of the most famous monasteries of the Order of Saint Benedict were founded under the title of Holy Cross. Of these, let it suffice to mention the celebrated monastery built at Paris by the bishop, Saint Germanus, the monastery built by Saint Ferron in the diocese of Meaux, the Abbey of the Holy Cross, founded at Poitiers by Saint Redegonde, the monastery of Holy Cross at Bordeaux, built by Clovis II, those of Metten in Bavaria, Richenoux in Switzerland, Quimperre in Brittany, and the five famous monasteries in the Vosgien County, which were founded by Saint Hildulf, and which he also situated that they formed a cross. The Savior of the world seems to have entrusted, by a special favor, to the children of Saint Benedict, a large portion of the cross on which he died for the redemption of man. Large fragments of this sacred wood have been confided to their keeping, and a Christian might almost glory in having seen the instrument of his salvation, were all the pieces to be put before him, which have been possessed by different monasteries of this order. We may mention the following amongst the houses thus privileged. In France, Saint Germain de Prés, in Paris, Saint Denis, Holy Cross at Poitiers, Cormery in Touraine, Gelon, Saint Michael's de Murano in Venice, Sahagnoux in Spain, Richenoux in Switzerland, Saint Ulrich's and Saint Afra's in Augsburg in Germany, Saint Michael's at Hildesheim, Saint Turtbert's in the Black Forest, Moloch in Austria, and the celebrated monastery of Gansrim. But the most glorious mission given to the Benedictines in what relates to the glory of the Holy Cross is that of having carried this instrument of salvation into so many countries by preaching the gospel to their pagan inhabitants. The greater part of the West was converted by their zeal from the darkness of infidelity, and the reader needs scarce be told that England was converted by St. Augustine of Canterbury, Germany by St. Boniface, Belgium by St. Amandus, Holland and Zealand by St. Willibrord, Westphalia by St. Swithbert, Sweden and Denmark by St. Ansgararus, Austria by St. Wolfgang, Saxony by St. Ludgerius, Bavaria by St. Corbian, Poland and Bohemia by St. Adalbert of Prague, Prussia by St. Otho of Bamberg, Russia by St. Boniface the Second. Such are, in brief, the facts which give to the person the name of St. Benedict a special connection with the Holy Cross. It is, therefore, with a most evident appropriateness that the effigy of this holy patriarch has been put on the same medal with the figure of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see still more clearly why this should have been done when we refer to what is related in the Acts of the two great disciples of this servant of God, St. Placid and St. Maurus. Both of them, when working the miracles, which we meet with in almost every page of their lives, were wont to join together with the invocation of the Holy Cross the name of their Holy Father, Benedict, thus establishing, at the very beginning of the order, the pious practice of which the medal was to be, in after times, the symbol and the expression. St. Placid had scarcely bidden farewell to the Holy Patriarch on leaving Monte Cassino to repair to Sicily, when arriving at Capua, he was besought to heal the dean of the church of that town. His humility made for a long time resist such a demand. At length he consents, and placing his hand upon the head of the priest, who was sick of a mortal disease, he immediately cures him, whilst pronouncing these words, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the prayers and virtue of Benedict our Master, drew me safe and sound from the midst of the water, may God reward thy faith and restore thee to thy former health." Immediately there comes a blind man, begging in his turn to be cured. Placid makes the sign of the cross upon his eyes, at the same time adding this prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, mediator of God and man, who didst come down from heaven to earth, that thou mightest enlighten those who were sitting in the darkness and shades of death, thou who hast given to our blessed Master Benedict the gift of healing all maladies and all wounds, deign, by his merits, to give sight to this blind man, to the end that, seeing the magnificence of thy works, he may fear and adore thee as the sovereign Lord." Then addressing himself to the blind man, Placid thus continued, "By the merits of our most holy Father Benedict, I command thee, in the name of him who created the sun and moon to be the ornament of the heavens, and gave to him who was born blind the eyes which nature had denied him, arise, and be thou healed. Go now and tell all men the wonderful works of our God." The blind man immediately recovered his sight. We might quote several other miracles from the life of St. Placid, such as healing the sick or driving out the devils from those possessed, in which the invocation or mention of St. Benedict, still living, was united with the miracles of the sign of the cross. In some of these miracles, we find the sick themselves acknowledging and proclaiming this mysterious connection. St. Maurus, having been sent by the great patriarch into Gaul, there to establish his rule, soon began to work numerous miracles. As we noticed before, these miracles were wrought by means of the Holy Cross, but the saintly abbot was also accustomed to join to the divine virtue of the instrument of our redemption a prayer invoking the intervention of St. Benedict. He bore testimony to himself when, on occasion of his having saved one of his fellow travelers from death, he made this declaration. "If," said the saint to those who had witnessed the miracle, "the divine majesty hath deigned to work this miracle by the wood which redeemed us, it is plainly not to man, but to the Redeemer himself we must give the glory of it, although none of you can doubt, but that the merits of our most holy Father Benedict have obtained this grace of him for us." From these facts it is evident, even from the very commencement of the Benedictine order, This method, having recourse to the divine goodness, was practiced with wonderful success. Saint Benedict was still on earth, and his disciples invoked his name when they were asking favors of heaven. If such confidence in his merits was, even then, thus blessed by God, how great must the power of his intercession be now that he has been raised to his throne of glory in heaven.